This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Chuang and Shaoning. Now, tomorrow is Federal Territories Day, an annual public holiday in Kuala Lumpur, Labuan and Putrajaya. So in order to commemorate the establishment of the three federal territories. Now, it began when the Sultan of Selangor, Sultan Salahuddin Abdul Aziz Shah, handed over Kuala Lumpur, which was part of Selangor then, to the federal government to ensure direct administration.
Now, through the KL agreement, or Kuala Lumpur agreement, KL was officially declared as the first federal territory on February 1st, 1974. Labuan became a federal territory in 1984, and this was also followed by Putrajaya in 2001. Unfortunately, guys, FT Day falls on a Saturday, though, so no public holiday for
doesn't
us.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count this time.
So in order to get a gauge of the situation of the, on the ground and to, and a bit of a sense of the relationship between the federal government and the MPs who represent Malaysians in our closest federal territory, KL, we speak to Nik Nazmi bin Nik Ahmad, MP for Setiawangsa. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Nazmi. So what is the relationship like between the federal government and its MPs? How would you quantify that?
Well, I think the relationship is in a very good situation. I mean, in the sense that, you know, because we are MPs, so even MPs in other states, you know, the direct linkage is with the federal government. The flip side for KL, Putrajaya and Labuan MPs is that there are no... There's no ADUNs or state assemblymen in the territories.
And what would you say are the key issues faced by KL MPs on the ground?
If you're talking about KL specifically, I think the main two issues that are faced by the people on the ground, it's all related to the economy. And I think when you talk about the economy, you know, because KL probably in many ways, the income, the level of development is actually at almost or at par with developed countries. If you take KL out of Malaysia and you measure it with other developed countries, we'll be there. So the issues that stem from it is are the issues that are affecting the people in the B40, because we are talking about B40 in KL. They are probably earning a higher income than those who are in other states, especially in rural states, because of the cost of living in KL. So they tend to get overlooked because in national census or whatnot, they tend to be probably some of them we will go into the M40 and they'll not qualify for some assistance that are given out. And related to that is housing. You know, the price of housing is a real issue. Many people, including myself, who actually work in KL, stay out of KL. So that's another issue where we do not want KL to be gentrified. Previously, the government have done PPR housing and all that, but you know, how do we improve that and make sure that everyone has a place in Kuala Lumpur?
I know this is a bit more difficult to answer, but how does policymakers like yourselves and MPs solve the short term issues with regard to the wage disparity or the cost of living issues that you just outlined?
Yeah, there's no short term solution to that. But what we do, we try to work with. Obviously, we work with the government bodies such as the Welfare Department, Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat. For Muslims, there's Baitul Mal. But we also work with civil society. There's a lot of food bank initiatives that have been undertaken by the new government as well as by NGOs. In my own area, for example, we do a lot of programs in the PPR areas because, they tend to come from the B40 and the environment itself. I think there's a lot that needs to be done to improve it. We do a lot of academic programs, even football programs, just to hopefully help the kids who are living in those areas. So for me, I mean, we would like to focus on the kids. We even work, for example, with Nestle in giving out food or milk for the kids there. focus on the kids gives us a more long-term focus, and I think that's more sustainable.
And Nick, so what are the key issues also faced by the MPs themselves? Do KL MPs have enough tools to adequately serve their constituents? You know, maybe you could outline what are some of the limitations or main challenges that you see as an MP here in KL?
Yeah, I mean, I think because, again, I'd like to emphasize that there is a sense of deficit in terms of representation. One is that there's just the MP. There's no state assemblyman. There are no councillors. Okay, we have DBKL, but DBKL operates differently. They have Lembaga Penasihat or a board of advisors, and there's a Majlis Perwakilan Penduduk, but it's slightly different than the councillors, which are very powerful in local governments. Previously, I was a state assemblyman in PJ, so. We did actually a few of, if not all, but certainly the majority of KL MPs, we work together to request from the government. We get an office budget from the government, but we were hoping that the office budget, at least for KL MPs, can be increased because we need to, there's a lot of things that we need to do because we do not have the other two layers of government, or at least the two layers of political representations, the state assemblyman and the councillors. And I think that is a handicap for us, and we need that assistance.
So, Nick Nazmi, what's your wish list as a KL MP?
Wish list for KL MP? For me, I think KL has a lot of potential. I mean, KL, there's what do you call that? Really the sky's the limit for KL. But the issue is to get out from the nitty-gritty things that we are facing today. I think, of course, another major thing that I've been pushing, and to be fair, YB Khalid Samad, the new minister and the new mayor, has done a lot is on public transport, because I think this is the lifeblood of KL. You know, if the city doesn't move, then it doesn't live. And previously, there's this service called Go KL, which is a free bus service, but it was only limited to certain areas in the city centre, which means that mostly foreign workers or expats or tourists benefit from the service. Now, it has been new routes have been introduced, current routes have been expanded. That means that many residential areas, PPR areas and whatnot, are serviced by the free bus service, and it links with the new routes of LRT and MRT lines. So I think public transport is something that is crucial. Personally, if you ask me personally, I would hope that we won't see too many elevated highways in the future, and focus on rail and other forms of public transport, because the more elevated highways you build, then the less space, unless you want to go underground, which is expensive. So I think we really need to shift the focus of KL. It has started, but we need to work harder to make it more of a public transport-oriented city rather than a car or motorway city.
So will local council elections, or perhaps the election of a mayor, help you in your jobs as KL MPs, do you think?
Definitely. But I've raised about this even in Parliament and whatnot. But we have to acknowledge that there's still a lot of challenges in terms of perception to convince the people out there. One of my pragmatic things that I've said before is that, we can not have yet local council elections in other parts of Malaysia, but KL, because again, I'm mentioning about the democratic deficit, the fact that we only have in practice one layer of government in terms of political accountability, KL should have some form of local council election, and we can make it, because there's a lot of fear that there'll be racial dominance or this is long held fears, which, you know, you look back at 13 May 69, you know, that happened after we had the local council elections in which stopped in the mid 60s. So that is really something that's really built in. So how maybe, you know, we need to do a proper study. You know, the government can look at it, you know, not do it immediately, but look at a proper study to have a system that is inclusive can dispel any fears, you know, of racial dominance by any race. And I think, of course, I don't expect the opposition to support it, at least not UMNO and PAS, but they should, because now KL is Pakatan Harapan territory in toto. So maybe, you know, this sort of local government elections, whatnot, will able to allow them, you know, to have a seat in local government. And I think that's something that needs to be explored. But in the meantime, because I to be honest, I think that will take time. In the meantime, you know, maybe help with KL MPs, you know, having more staff, improve DBKL delivery. You know, the minister has put us into Majlis Menteri Wilayah to help out with giving input in the running of the city. I mean, those sort of things need to be continued and empowered while we wait for local council elections, which honestly, I think, will take time to deliver.
Thank you very much, Nik Nazmi. And that was Nik Nazmi bin Nik Ahmad, MP for Setia Wangsa, giving us his insight into life as a KL MP here in conjunction with Federal Territories Day.
Yeah, what is interesting about his conversation was the fact that KL itself, in isolation, when compared with other developed countries, has a income and cost level equivalent to those like in Singapore, Hong Kong, for example. But clearly the B40s and M40s are going to have a hard time coping with it. And that's, I think, the day-to-day rigors of an MP like himself.
Yeah, and of course, this all relates to things like property prices, cost of living. Those are real pressures that KLites feel.
And we are running a poll on the subject of the concerns that you have when it comes to living in KL over on the BFM Twitter account, at BFM Radio. What are your main concerns? Is it property prices, social issues like crime, congestion, or others? Do tell us what you think. Right now, though, we are heading into the 8 o'clock news. And then after that, we'll have the Breakfast Grill, where Roshan Kinnison speaks with Nabil Faisal Bamadaj, founder of the bike hailing firm Digo Ride. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.